Oh, praise the Lord. 1 Samuel chapter number 3. And for those who don't know, that is my family, and I thank them for being willing to sing this morning. But 1 Samuel and chapter 3. Thank you again for being here. What a blessing it is to see God continue to bless our church. And if you are visiting with us, I hope you know once again, I know I've said it several times, but we're so glad you're here. And it is such a joy and honor to have you visit with us. I'd love to get to know you, and we'd love to help you any way we can. And if you're maybe passing through, or maybe just a longtime member, we're glad you're here, or maybe somewhere in between. We're going to continue our series through the book of 1 Samuel. We've kind of just seen a change that's starting to shift and take place in the children of Israel. By the way, this was a time when every man did that which was right in his own eyes. And of course, the word of God was precious. There was no open vision. There wasn't a lot of good things happening. And a lot of that stemmed even from the temple, the sacred place where God should have been proclaimed. Instead, there was selfishness and sin there. But there's a change happening. God has raised up a young man. And we kind of started seeing that last week as we saw the first 15, 16 verses or so of this chapter. And we'll finish off the chapter today. We'll see a total of 9 different areas where God has helped lead Samuel along. And I hope it's a prayer for each and every one of us. Wherever you're at in life, God, can you take me with all my warts and bruises in my past, and can you use me to do something great for you? Wherever you're at, maybe you're a newer Christian, maybe you're an older Christian that's kind of getting back involved again, and maybe you've been faithful. God, what do you have for me? And that's really the thought and the heartbeat of the message today. If you found that and you're physically able to, if you could stand to your feet, the reading, respect for the reading of God's word, if you're able to, stretch one last time. And we'll just read a few verses here. I believe there's 4 or 5 here. And we'll start in verse number 16. Then Eli, of course, this is the priest, called Samuel. And Samuel said, Samuel, my son. And he answered, here am I. And he said, what is the thing that the Lord has said unto thee? I pray thee, hide it not from me. God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me of all the things that he said unto thee. And Samuel told him every whit, and hid nothing from him. And he said, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth him good. And Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did let none of his words fall to the ground. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. Lord, we sure do love you. Thank you for loving us. You certainly are a great God. And we're thankful, Lord, for your house. We're thankful for your people. We're thankful for your word. And we're asking that you will use it in our lives today in a special way. We know we need you. We know without you we are nothing. And we're just asking that you'll stir in our hearts once again. Be with those maybe who don't know you today. May they come to find you. Be with those maybe who are searching for something. May they find it through you. Be with our children and teens in the next building, Lord. And be with all those who are serving. Lord, all those who are already here for our 8:30 service and maybe have gone home. Thank you for all those who are on security and just all those who are out and serving so that we can come and enjoy this service. I pray that you'll be with each and every listener. And Lord, I pray you'll help the word of God be spoken exactly like you have. Lord, I need you. I've got to have your power. Lord, we sure do love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. Years ago, a little boy watched fascinated as his mother gently rubbed cream all over her face. And as little boys will say, and said, Mommy, why are you doing that? She said, well, to make myself beautiful. After a few minutes, she started rubbing it off her face and washing it off. And the little boy said, what's the matter? She said, what? He said, are you giving up? And, you know, children have a way sometimes of not quite understanding. And that's really been the place of Samuel. He's not really understood all these things. Of course, last week we saw that he grew physically, and this week we see that the Lord was with him, and so the Lord's starting to reveal some things to him. He really doesn't understand. In fact, he thinks it's Eli talking to him at first, and Of course, now God is talking to him, and he's going on a journey. He's going on a trip. And as we've seen the last couple of weeks, there's been two separate journeys, two separate trips. You have, of course, the trip Hophni and Phinehas is on, the journey they're on. Of course, the priests, they should be the next priests, but they're ungodly, and God's going to kick them out of that. And he's training up Samuel. And so what's the difference? And I think it's interesting that if you want to get to know someone, as one person said, take a trip with them. Just in the preparation alone. You know what I'm talking about. And the packing. Have you ever gone with someone somewhere and they have 52 suitcases, you know? And they're going Southwest. They can check in two bags and take in their carry-on and take a personal item. And they're going to take it all. And if you only need one bag, can you check these in for me too? You know, and then you have the other person who just takes a backpack. You know, we all travel differently. The approach is different. And this particular case, Samuel, Hophni, and Phinehas are way different. Their outcomes are way different. Their walk with the Lord is way different. So what, of course, we saw a couple weeks ago, what made Hophni and Phinehas that way? We know it's selfishness and sin, and we all are susceptible to that. But what made Samuel different? Well, last couple of weeks, we've seen, first of all, he was asked of the Lord. In verse number 20 of chapter 1, literally, Hannah says, I asked him of the Lord. We see he was consecrated to the Lord in chapter 1, verse 28. She says, as long as he liveth, I have lent him to the Lord. So we see already he has a good foundation. He has a mother who cares, who's given to him and helped train him up in the way he should go. But then we saw now Samuel's to a point where he's personally got to be on that journey. May I say, you can ride on the coattails of your parents, of your pastor, of your mentor only so long, and eventually you have to be willing to take the next step in your discipleship journey, in your growth journey with the Lord, your faith journey. You've got to make that decision. And we see that Samuel does the only thing he can do at his age. He starts to work for the Lord. We see he was ministering to the Lord. So we see he's been consecrated to the Lord. He's been asked to the Lord. He's working for the Lord. And then we see him waiting on the Lord. And three different times he hears from, he thinks Eli, and Eli finally realizes, no, you're hearing from God. That was something that was so precious and so rare that now Eli says, oh, Samuel, you got to get exactly what God is saying. So we see Samuel gains wisdom from the Lord. We talked about that last week, how when you start serving the Lord and you start waiting on the Lord, God will start guiding you and leading you and giving you wisdom from the Lord. And then today we're going to finish up the chapter. We see four more things that Samuel's doing that I think we all can take and, like Samuel, grow in our Christian walk till God can use us to do exactly what he has us to. So if you're writing, we actually have number 6, which I know is number 1 in this message, but it's number 6 in the part 2. We see verse number 16, then Eli called Samuel, and Samuel said, Samuel, my son, he answered, here am I. In verse 16 and verse number 17, we see Samuel witnessing for the Lord. So if you're writing, we see Samuel witnessing for the Lord. And verse number 15, he's very fearful from what he heard. And as you can see, he went to bed trembling. Have you ever been startled? Have you ever faced fear? This morning I was taking my walk, started praying to the Lord, and I was really starting to get, you know, into your prayer. And I really wasn't paying attention to what I was doing. I was walking down our gravel road, which very rarely someone drives down it. And the next thing I look up, and there's this brown fur ball coming straight at me. I mean, and it wasn't just trotting. It was full force straight at me. And of course, what did I do? I screamed. No. Okay. Got my defensive stance. I don't know what I'm going to do with this fur ball. My first thought, it's a deer. And deer always run away from me, not at me. I thought, this is probably not a deer. And then I thought, this is a dog. But no, it's not a dog. It's a coyote. So what did Pastor Justin do? Well, you should see him. No, thankfully he veered off and ran into the bushes. Okay. But I told my wife, said, were you scared? I said, no, I was startled. And perhaps Samuel here is a little startled or a little fearful. He's handling a pretty difficult message from God. Probably doesn't want to tell Eli. We talked about that last week. Jonah is probably the only prophet from God who really wanted to tell Nineveh what they needed to hear. Most of the time when there's a hard message from God, it's not an enjoyable thing to give. You know, there's a message that Portland needs to hear, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We commend a young family who's willing to go and start a church there, but in all reality, we should all be willing to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sometimes it can be a very difficult message. And Samuel responds to Eli saying three words, "Here am I. Here am I." Now think about this. This young boy has gotten a vision and an encounter from God that no one has gotten for over 300 years. The word of the Lord was precious, we learned. Why? Because every man did that which was right in his own eyes. The word of the Lord was precious. It was something that wasn't normally happening. And Samuel gets to hear it. And so when Eli says, "Come here, Samuel," he could have said, "What do you want to know? I got to hear from God. You didn't." But what does Samuel do? He's very submissive. He's very humble. And may I say today, whenever our wishes contradict the Father's will, it is wise to yield. We see that Samuel's not proud. He's not humble. He's not eager, though, to give this message. And may I say, just like Jesus in the garden conformed to his Father's will when he said, "Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt." We see in Acts, of course, as the apostles, we see saying, "The will of the Lord be done." Esther, of course, doing what was one of the hardest things she ever would have to do. She said, "If I perish, I perish." Job says, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. Teach me to do thy will," the psalmist said, "for thou art my God." Jesus again says, "I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father." May I say, the best thing to do when God's touched your heart is to just submit to the will of God and leave it up to him. Years ago, there was a man named Robert Moffat. He had fallen in love with his employer's daughter, Mary Smith, and he desperately wanted to propose, and believe it or not, Mary desperately wanted him to propose. They were in love. They dreamed of serving the Lord together in South Africa, but back in those days, when missionaries would go to the field, they were destined for an early grave, and Mary's parents did not want her to go. Robert's parents were apprehensive, but they knew Robert had a mind of his own and he was going to go regardless. And Mary's parents says, "No, you can't go." And Robert had a heavy heart. He had to make a decision. Do I stay with my beloved in Scotland, or do I go where God has called me to go? Should I surrender to his will? After puzzling over this and wrestling with it, he finally wrote this note to his parents. He said, "From the clearest indication of his divine providence, God bids me go out alone. And he who appoints crosses and disappointments also imparts resignation and grace sufficient unto the day." And so he writes, "I am bold to adopt the language of Eli and say, it is the Lord. Let him do what seemeth him good." So on October 18th, 1816, Robert went to Africa by himself. But 3 years later, Mary's parents realized, "We can't keep her here. It's not right." And so they sent her to Africa where they got married. And for over 50 years, they made a big impact in Africa because they submitted to the will of God. And Samuel has a choice. "Here am I," he says. Let me ask you a question. Will you say, "Here am I"? The faithful will know God's counsel and will declare it. Peter and John, of course, in Acts 4:20 said, "For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard." And so, of course, Samuel is given motivation by Eli in verse 17. He says, "I pray thee, hide it not from me." Samuel hears from Eli, God do so to thee, and more also, if thou hide anything from me, all the things that he said unto thee." And Samuel says, "Oh no, I know what God said, and I don't want that to happen to me, Eli, so I will tell you everything." And just as Jesus gave that hard message while he was here on earth, in John 8:24, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he shall die in your sins. May I encourage us to be willing to boldly share the gospel message of Jesus Christ, that Jesus came, that he lived amongst us, he lived a perfect life, and that he died on the cross. And often people will say, why would someone die on the cross? And why would he have to die for me? And that's where we must say, because of our sin. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short. That sin is the wages of sin is death. You and I must understand that when we share the gospel of Jesus Christ, that the cross is important. The resurrection is important. We must understand that because of our sin, we sent Jesus to the cross. But yet he willingly went for you and me. And he died. And we have a choice to make. Either we can go to hell and pay for our sin, or we can go to heaven if we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior. And that's the good news of the gospel. As hard of a message it is, it's a wonderful message to share when people understand the whole truth. And so Wiersbe said this: God had chosen Samuel to be the judge, priest, and prophet, so the light of the truth would keep burning in Israel. And of course, Eli says, it is the Lord, let him do what seemeth good. And Samuel shares exactly what God said. And so we see Samuel becomes a witness for the Lord. So he's been, of course, we see him waiting on the Lord. We see him working for the Lord. We see him gaining wisdom from the Lord. And now he's witnessing for the Lord. You see a growth here? May I encourage you, if you have given your life to Christ, to find an area to serve somehow, some way, and start waiting on God and gaining wisdom from God, but then start witnessing for the Lord. I'm thankful for a dad who took me every week as a kid on a bus route in a little town called Penville, Indiana. There was about 700 people there, and we went to a little town called Nottingham that had about 8 houses. My dad claimed that he had helped baptize half of the city of Nottingham. Okay, went to Nottingham, Indiana. We went down the street again to Petroleum and different cities, and we would bring kids to church. And I learned at an early age that it's great to tell people about Jesus Christ. And may we be a witness for God. But second of all, or number 7, as you'll see it in your handout, as this is the part 2, we see Samuel walking with the Lord. So he's witnessing, he's working, he's waiting, he's gaining wisdom, but now he's walking with the Lord. What does that mean? Well, in verse number 19, and Samuel grew. By the way, this is the same phrase that you see in chapter 2. Samuel grew. By the way, that's a natural occurrence. I got a text message today from my brother-in-law in our family group chat, and put a picture of little Victoria. She's how old. Probably my wife would know the exact months, but she's old enough to walk. And she's a little video of her walking. You know, she's growing. That's natural. But may I say, what's unnatural to so many people that should be natural is growing spiritually. Are you growing spiritually? Well, when you see this verse compared to last chapter, you see another phrase, and the Bible says, not only did he grow, but the Lord was with him. The Lord was with him, which shows spiritual growth. By the way, God gives grace to those who are humbling themselves to him. In Isaiah 57, verse 15, for thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to receive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. And may I tell you today that God is looking for those who will submit to him and will humble themselves and will plainly come to God humbly and say, God, please use me. Please fill me. Do what you will. I think of Joshua in Joshua 4:4. On that day, the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses. As Samuel grew older, he was also growing spiritually. All in our increase in wisdom and grace is owing to the presence of God in our life. I think of young David. Of course, David was called by Samuel, of course, by God, to be the next king of Israel. In 1 Samuel 16:18, the Bible says, I have seen a son of Jesse, the Bethlehemite, that is cunning and playing, a mighty, valiant man, a man of war, prudent in all matters, a comely person, and the Lord is with him. Here is the secret of Samuel's success. The Lord was with him. And may I say that because of Jesus Christ coming, one of his names is Emmanuel, meaning God is with us. It's really your choice, as Jesus promised the disciples in Matthew chapter 28, as he sent them. He said, go ye therefore and teach them. And he also says, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. The Lord was with Samuel, the drumbeat of this writer, as we've seen in chapter 1 and chapter 2, that the moment of his conception, the Bible says the Lord remembered her in his early development. In chapter 2, the Lord visited Hannah and was in favor both of the Lord. And in chapter number 3, we see as his entrance into prophetic ministry, God was with him. And as we see in the maturation of his ministry, God continues to be with him. And we see God is with him, God is with the disciples, God is with David, God was with Joshua, and God wants to be, believe it or not, with you and with me. Samuel's success was, in fact, the Lord's success. Matthew Henry says this about this passage: all increase in wisdom and grace is owing to the presence of God with us. Early reverence will be the greatest honor of young people. Young people, I want to encourage you today that God wants to be with you. You say, well, I'm just a teenager. I'm just a young adult. I'm just a young couple, new Christian. What do you mean? God wants to be with you. He says, and from him they will learn to remember their Creator and the days of their youth. Young children, teenagers, are capable of being greatly used by God. But it's your choice. God wants to be with you and me, but we have to choose him. In 1829, there was a man named George Wilson. He was sentenced. He was arrested for robbery and murder and a U.S. mail heist, and he was sentenced to death by hanging. Some of his friends were very startled by that, and they said, you know, we're going to do something about this. So they reached out to President Andrew Jackson. And President Andrew Jackson says, okay, I will issue him a pardon. It was a miraculous thing. But Wilson refused the pardon, saying he wanted to die. Well, the sheriff didn't know what to do. President Jackson said, you're going to be pardoned. Wilson says, I want to die. I don't care what my friend said. So it went back to the president, and the president said, I don't know what to do. Give it to the chief marshal. So Chief Justice John Marshall gave this ruling. A pardon is a piece of paper, the value of which depends on its acceptance by the person implicated. Anyone under the sentence of death would hardly be expected to refuse a pardon, but if it's refused, it's no pardon. Thus, George Wilson was executed while the signed pardon lay on the sheriff's desk. What does that mean for you and me? God wants to be with us. God wants to empower us. God wants to use us. God wants to fill us. He wants us to walk with him. He wants to use us. But we must choose to allow him to. My question to you and I today is not just choose to allow him to, but second of all, he has issued each and every one of us a pardon of salvation. We don't deserve his free gift. In fact, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short. We are destined to a place called hell, and we have to make a choice. We can pay for our sin on our own, and that's what we deserve. Or we can say, you know what, God? I will accept your free gift of salvation. Will you come into my heart and save me? Don't be like George Wilson and refuse God's pardon. Will you accept Christ in your life? Will you invite him in to become a child of you, so you can be a child of God? The Bible says, whosoever shall call, whosoever will accept this free gift, can know for sure they're going to heaven. And so today we see Samuel not only witnessing for the Lord, not only was he walking with the Lord, but number 8, we see verse number 20, that Samuel was the well-known prophet of God. So we see, of course, he's asked of the Lord, he's consecrated to the Lord, he's working for the Lord, he's waiting for the Lord, he's gaining wisdom from the Lord. We see him then, of course, witnessing for the Lord. We now see he becomes a well-known prophet of God in verse number 20. And all Israel, from Dan even to Beersheba, knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Now, Dan to Beersheba, if you remember, we preached on this in Judges, in chapter number 20. We see it's really, whenever that phrase is used, it encompasses the whole 150-mile tribe of Israel. And so, not just a few people. Of course, we see several of the judges, and we went through judges. Sometimes only just a tribe or two knew about that judge. But in this particular case, all the people of Israel knew that Samuel has been asked to the Lord, he's consecrated the Lord, and he is directly from God. He's heard from God. He declares the truth about God. God's with him. The one that lives in the presence of God will be acknowledged as belonging to God. The one who lives in the presence of God is the one who will be acknowledged to be with God. Perhaps you know, if I went around the room, I won't, but I put a microphone in front of everybody's face and said, who would you say is someone who's with God, has God's presence? You all would have somebody. Maybe it's an aunt, maybe it's a grandma, maybe it's a grandpa, maybe it's a husband, father, whoever. Maybe it's a pastor you knew or you've had in the past. Maybe it's a missionary you knew. And everybody knew Samuel was with God. I think of Peter and John in Acts 4, verse 13. They were unlearned and ignorant men, is what they were said to be. They marveled, the Jews, because they took knowledge of them. Why? That they had been with Jesus. My grandpa, growing up, had over 1,000 pigs. A lot of them were piglets, and then they got older. Sometimes he'd have me come down and help me with, I'd have to catch them, and he'd give them shots or sort them and sort out the runts from the older ones or the big ones so they were getting all the feed. They had to go put in another pen with the older pigs. And, man, I'd help him all afternoon and get lunch, and he always had 7-Up. That was his soda of choice, and I would go back and help him, and then I'd finally go home, and I'd be tired. I'd walk in that house, and my sisters would say, "Wee! You stink! Excuse you? I smell just fine." They knew Justin had been with the pigs. And Mommy would then read, "Mommy, can you tell Justin to take a shower?" She'd say, "Get up out of that chair. Get up in that shower and bring those clothes and hang them on the clothesline. I'll deal with them later." Why? Been with the pigs. Now, I know that's a horrible comparable illustration, but do people know you've been with God? Do people sense His presence in your life? Do your children know that you love God? Does your coworker know that you love God? Does your doctor know you love God? And man, this is convicting to me, but I'm thankful for a father who enjoys sitting next to people on a plane, and he'll pray this all morning. "God, put me beside someone that I can talk to about Jesus Christ. When I get on a plane, I hope nobody sits in my row. You know, I put stuff, don't tell anybody, but I'll put a bag on my seat next to me. Maybe they'll think someone's sitting here, you know. I'll put my Bible there. Maybe they won't, you know." Well, my dad looks for people. Do you? Do people know you're in tune with God? In fact, the Bible says that he was established in verse 20. That word established means trustworthy. The Hebrew word is confirmed, amen, which is our word amen, which means so be it. It means trustworthy, dependable, reliable, stable, confident. This is what was happening. He's not just saying these things from God, not just walking with God, but he has been showed by his life that he's stable, that he's consistent, that he's confident with God, that he's trustworthy. People know, Samuel, there's something different about him, and that's what I want to be. Hophni and Phinehas were forcing us in here to do bad things, and we were loathe the opportunity to go to the temple. We don't want to go because we know we're going to be mistreated. But Samuel, there's something different about him. He's trustworthy. We want to go worship God now. There's something about us that's driven to be closer to the Lord, and we want to be where Samuel is. And may I say, you and I can all be the type of people, we may not be a prophet from God, but we can be a man or a lady who people want to be around because we're positive and we're upbeat and we're encouraging. And yes, we will say the truth in love and we'll point people to Jesus, and people want to be around us because there's something different. And that's what was happening with Samuel. Paul writes to Titus and Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2, "And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men." Who were the people that God used to change this world upside down? Who were the deacons that he eventually used there in the book of Acts? Who was the apostle Paul and, of course, Barnabas? Who was Titus and who was Timothy? And who were all these young people that were used of God to change that people in Asia and in Europe knew about Jesus? It was young men and young ladies who were committed to God. And God, Paul says, find those people. And God's still looking for those people today. And for the first time since Moses, Israel has a national prophet. A prophet proclaiming the message of God, neither adding nor taking away. He was someone who was close to God. He was expected to be able to discern what God thinks about a problem or a situation. He was willing to proclaim God's attitude to their behavior. What was required of them, those people in the present, and how God will act in the future. In fact, a Shunammite woman spoke of Elisha in 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 9. "Behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God." A prophet is a person with a particular calling. Now we know this was all in the Bible times, prophetic. Now, the gift of prophecy is more the proclaiming of God's word. We understand that. Jeremiah, of course, before he was formed in the belly, God knew him, and we see he sanctified him, and he ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. We see Samuel has now become this well-known prophet of God. Why? Because he was spectacular. He was very flamboyant. He has flowery words. No, he was a man who was wholly submitted to God. And God says, that's who I'm looking for. And then last of all this morning, as we kind of tie things up, we see not only was he a well-known prophet, he walked with God, he witnessed with God, but we see last of all this morning, the word of the Lord was revealed to him. This had not been done for over 300 years. This was a place where every man did that which was right in his own eyes. There was no open vision. But now, the Bible says in verse 21, "And the Lord appeared again in Shiloh." How long had it been? Shiloh was a place that had become despicable with Hophni and Phinehas and Eli's leadership allowing it to happen. People even dreaded going to the Passover every year. A time of celebration and excitement, they dreaded because they knew they were going to have to deal with Hophni and Phinehas. But now, finally, the Lord appeared again in Shiloh, for the Lord revealed himself to Samuel in Shiloh by the word of the Lord. How does the Lord reveal himself to you and me today? Well, through his word. It's the Christian's telephone, and our ear must be attentive to his word if we're going to know his mind and his will. In shutting out his word, we shut the appointed means of communication between our souls and God. But Samuel, he's faithfully delivering the message he was entrusted with. Colossians 1, verse 9, I think, shows what Paul thought of someone who submitted to God. It's a prayer he prayed for everybody in Colossae, and of course those who've accepted Christ. It's for you and me today, what he hopes for all of us, that you and I can also be a modern-day Samuel, if you will, as far as someone God can use. "For this cause we also, since the day we heard of it, do not cease to pray for you," Paul says, "and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and to all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. We see here Samuel walking worthy. There's something different about him. He may not have had all the I's dotted and T's crossed just right. He may not have been, who knows what it looked like back then. But it was a young man who says, you know what? As Joshua, as for me and my house, we'll serve the Lord. You can say what you want about me, but there's one thing you have to say is he loved God. And he served God for an audience of one, Jesus Christ, God. There was something about Samuel. He walked worthily. The Bible says he bared fruit. He bared fruit. He was making a difference, making an impact, which I think we all want. And as a result, he was increasing in the knowledge of God. Are you walking worthily? Are you bearing fruit? And are you increasing in the knowledge of God? I think if you'll do those things, God says, you know what? That's the young man or young lady I'm looking for. That's the older man but younger Christian I'm looking for. That's the senior saint who's been faithful all these years and wants to continue to be faithful. I'm going to allow them to influence and minister to their grandkids and those in the church maybe who are looking for help, don't know how to ask for it, they're going to be used. I'm going to find those who are willing to be used. Years ago, a young girl entered a little church out of curiosity. And there she heard the gospel for the first time and was converted. And it wasn't long before she gave in to God's call on her life. She felt like she needed to go to China as a missionary. She was the only daughter of a multimillionaire family, very wealthy family. And they, of course, did not understand her love for this God. One thing, giving your heart to God. Another thing, giving your life to God. To serve in China. Of course, she was prominent and wealthy. She was going to be the only heir to this multi-million dollar fortune. And she was engaged to a young man at that time who also did not believe in God. And when she told her parents about her call to go to the mission field, they sneered at the very thought. And they thought, you know, we're going to have this big party without her knowing it. We're going to bring in all these wealthy people. And they're going to convince her to stay here. That's what we're going to do. So that day, the girl came to her party thinking it's just going to be another party. And time after time after time, she was asked the piercing questions, trying to be discouraged from doing what God had called her to do. She listened to every argument possible. This poor girl had to deal with so much stuff she shouldn't have to. Finally, she got up and everybody watched her. And she didn't retort back and she didn't say anything. She just absorbed. And she walked over to the piano. She sat down and started playing and singing. Jesus, I my cross have taken. All to leave and follow thee. Destitute, despised, forsaken. Thou from hence my all shall be. The story goes on. As the night wore on, her fiancé was so touched by her action. He walked over to her and said, I do not know this Jesus could mean so much to any person. But if he means that much to you, please pray for me that I might know him as well. Not too long after, he accepted Christ as his Savior. And they were married and both went to China. And they labored there for many years. And this verse became very special to them both. Matthew 16:24. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. What that looks for every person is different. For some, God has you maybe here in your home state, in your hometown, serving him. For others, it may be a young man from Little Burn, Indiana, who God brought across the country to serve 2,400 miles away and pastor a church. For others, it may be going clear across the world to China or Africa. For some, it may be to start an electric business down the road, or maybe to be a plumber, or maybe a doctor, or maybe a lawyer. And those are all great things. But at the end of the day, one thing should all be common through all of that. Is God Lord of your life? Are you walking worthily with Him? Are you bearing fruit? And are you growing in the knowledge of God? I don't know what God has for every single one of you. I do know one thing. The night is getting darker, and we need more and more light. We need more and more people willing to go to Portland to start a church. We need more and more people willing to go across the world, or where people are hungry and they're grasping for the truth. But yet we need people here who's going to help strengthen a church, get behind the vision and serve and give and go. But we all need to be someone that's willing to walk worthy of Jesus, or willing to walk with the Lord, witness for the Lord. We're willing to let God exalt us if He chooses to, and we're willing to let the Word of God still speak to us today. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe there's someone that would say, Pastor Justin, I'm one of those people that's still stuck on that story of George Wilson and how Jesus Christ was willing to pardon me. I mean, He was willing to go to the cross for me. And I've been like George Wilson. I have refused that. And today I realize the day is of salvation. And I don't want to refuse that signed pardon on the desk as I have to die and go to hell. I want to go to heaven. And if I could know for sure I am on my way to heaven, I would gladly accept Christ today. He went to the cross for you. He was willing to die for you. All you must do is repent of your way of thinking and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, how many would say, Pastor Justin, that's me? No one's looking around. I won't embarrass you, I promise. I just want to pray for you. How many say, Pastor Justin, that's me? I want to know for sure I'm going to heaven. I want to accept that pardon from Jesus. I want to know for sure. If that's you, will you slip up your hand real quick? I want to pray for you. Maybe there's someone today that would say, that's me, Pastor Justin. I need Jesus. Maybe there's someone in the balcony. Maybe there's someone here on the main floor. Say, Pastor Justin, I need Jesus. Say, Pastor Justin, I know for sure I'm going to heaven. But I'll be honest with you. I haven't been walking worthily like I should. There's some things in my life maybe I need to straighten out. The Lord touched my heart. Will you pray for me? If that's you this morning, will you slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. God bless you. I see those hands. Maybe there's someone that would say, Pastor Justin, I have been walking worthily, but I haven't been bearing fruit like I should. Will you pray for me? If that's you, will you slip up your hand? God bless you. I see those hands all over. Maybe there's someone that would say, Pastor Justin, I want to continue to grow in my knowledge of Christ. I've kind of been stuck on a plateau, and I want to grow closer to the Lord. If that's you, will you slip up your hand? I want to pray for you. Wow, all over. Praise the Lord. Maybe there's someone this morning that would say, Pastor Justin, the Lord touched my heart, but maybe in a different way. God touched my heart this morning. Will you pray for me? If that's you, will you slip up your hand? God bless you. And last question. Maybe there's someone that would say, Pastor Justin, I have a burden. I have a trial. I have a care. I'm going through something, and it's really weighing me down. Will you pray for me this morning? If that's you, will you slip up your hand? Oh, wow, all over. Lord, you see the hands. You know the hearts. I don't know what all you want to do today, but I do know one thing. We need another generation of young people like Samuel who's going to walk worthily of you. We need a church, Lord, who's willing to bear fruit in this dark hour. We need to be a group of people that are growing in our knowledge of you. Lord, several, Lord, are just burdened down this morning. They're overwhelmed and they're struggling. Lord, help them. I don't know what it is. You do. And there's some this morning that you touched their heart in some way as well. And I pray that we'll respond to the message as you'd have us to. In Jesus' name, amen. If you could stand to your feet, the piano is going to play. If God's touched your heart this morning, may I encourage you to follow Him. Maybe you'd like to follow Lord in baptism. We have some getting baptized this morning. You want to talk with them about it. Maybe you'd like to follow Lord in church membership. May I encourage you in that area. Maybe you'd like to come down and pray. The altar's open this morning as the piano plays.
Okay, we do have two who have come for baptism this morning. We have Jasmine Dixon and Jake Eli. They will be getting baptized momentarily. But you may have a seat while we wait for them to get baptized. We're going to have a brief video, and then we'll watch the baptisms.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. We hope this morning service was a blessing to you. Join us tonight at 5 p.m. for our Level Up teaching and training modules. Come and choose two of the modules on various topics from the lineup. Don't miss this special time of training with something for every Christian.
Exciting plans are starting for the Easter dramatic musical Only Jesus on Friday, March 29th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, March 31st at 11 a.m. There will also be an egg hunt on property for all children and teens up through 12th grade. If you could help us by bringing individually wrapped candy, there is a bin on the welcome desk. Easter is a wonderful time to invite your friends, family, and coworkers to join us for our services. So mark your calendars as we celebrate the resurrection of our Savior.
Our practices for the Children's Easter Choir continue tonight at 3:30 p.m. This is the last practice with the choir and orchestra. We will be performing during the Only Jesus program on Friday, March 29th at 7 p.m. and Sunday, March 31st at 11 a.m. If you have any questions, please see Kristen Vestal.
Baptism Sunday is April 7th. If you have not followed the Lord in baptism and like to be baptized on this day, please sign up at the welcome desk. Invite cards are available as well.
We want you to stay connected at Grandview Baptist Church. To make this easier, we have a text and email service that can help you receive information about upcoming events, prayer requests, and important church updates. To sign up for the church text and e-messenger emails, stop by the welcome desk to fill out a Connect card or sign up online at grandviewcares.com and click Connect.
If this is your first or second time here, we want to answer your questions and get to know you. Please fill out the Connect card in the pew in front of you and bring it to guest services as you exit the auditorium. We would love to meet you, and you will receive a gift card. Have a great afternoon, and we'll see you tonight at 5.
They'll be there momentarily, but let me just remind you, Friday night is our annual Easter program. You don't want to miss that Friday night or Sunday morning. It'll be the same program, so invite your neighbors, friends, relatives, and make sure that you are able to attend one of those two. You don't want to miss. A lot of work has been put into that, a lot of preparation from our choir and from many, many people. And then also, let me just say, in 2 weeks is Baptism Sunday, and so we're about to see two people get baptized. But if you're sitting here today and you say, I've never been baptized, that's something that I'd be interested in 2 weeks, you might want to make a point to come and maybe be prepared to be baptized that Sunday. We'd love to talk to you, one of the pastors here.
Thank you, Brother Jeremy. I appreciate it. This is Jake and Jasmine. I've been discipling with them through our continued discipleship series. And the first day, Jasmine got kind of an assurance of salvation and got it just kind of settled. And Jake was saved when he was younger. And both of them said, you know, we haven't been baptized. And so they wanted to do that this morning. And so Jasmine, why don't you come on down? Jasmine, have you accepted Christ as your Savior?
Yes.
I baptize you, my sister, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptize. Raise like there was resurrection. Okay, and this is Jake. Jake, come on down. Jake, so proud of you as well. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior?
Yes, sir.
I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Baptize. Raise like this resurrection. I know they have a large group of people, so if you came today for them, thank you. And we're so proud of you and excited that you got to see them and to get baptized for the Lord and baptize them. And there's still room for more. Brother Jeremy?
Okay, let's pray, and then we'll be dismissed. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for the good day that you've given to us. I just pray that you'd bless those who are gathered here this morning, that you'd give us safety as we travel home, that you'd help us to experience your mercy and your grace throughout this week, and help us to be a conduit of it to others. I pray that we would gather safely again next week as we celebrate your resurrection. In Jesus' name, amen.